paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts, ask a question about glaucoma, find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today or maybe you're feeling shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air. Look us up online while you're there. It's www.hawaiianeye.com. Our website is full of all kinds of interesting information. Also, links to podcasts of our regular program, our regular radio program. You can also follow me on Twitter by going to twitter.com, looking for Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, no spaces. And on Facebook, we're facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. During the next hour, we're going to discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ, and we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor who specializes in the eyes. Now, we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice, but since I can't see through the telephone, I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center. Well, let's see. We're going to start off with a phone call. We have an early caller here. We've got Chris standing by in Mililani. Chris, you're going to have to turn down your radio in the background, and a little background noise there. Can you hear me, Chris? You're on the air.
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay, it's a little better now. Go ahead.
So my son, when he was very young, he's 15 now, when he was very young, he passed one eye because he basically has 20/20 vision in one eye. And his other eye, I don't even know, but it's really bad. So now as he's grown older and he's 15, he still has this issue where he's basically perfect in one eye and has terrible eyesight in the other. So now that he's wearing glasses, we're actually having to get his lens for his right eye in stages because his brain can't adapt too quickly to the difference in his eyesight between what it was and what it is with the lenses. And what my wife and I are wondering is, could he get LASIK or PRK surgery just for that one eye?
Okay, yes, but that may not be necessary. So let me talk a little bit about that. I'm going to let you listen off on the air if you can, because the connection on the phone is not so great, and we're getting some background noise. But I'll talk a little bit about it. All right, so the problem was that when the child was young, he had what's called amblyopia. Amblyopia is one eye being weaker than the other. And there are several reasons that amblyopia can occur. It can occur because the eyes are not aligned properly, someone's cross-eyed. It doesn't sound like that's the case here. Or it can occur because the vision or the focus of the two eyes is very different. And so if, for example, one eye is normal-sighted, sees well in the distance without glasses, and the other eye is very near-sighted, then the eye that doesn't have as good focus may develop into a weaker eye than the eye that does have good focus, because a large part of the way our vision develops as we are children, as we grow older, as we develop, our nervous system develops, and the eyes and the brain's ability to appreciate the signals that come from the eyes develop in the first 7 or 8 years of life. And so during that time, the input, the visual input into the brain is very important in getting the brain to adapt to that. And so if one eye is much less well focused than the other, the brain's going to learn to ignore that poorly focused eye and pay attention to the eye that's well focused. So people who have poor focus in one eye and good focus in the other often end up with a weak eye on the side of the poor focus. That's called amblyopia, or some people call that lazy eye. So if that's caught early and the doctors realize that there is a difference between the two eyes, then often the weak eye can be strengthened by encouraging it to work. And we do that by patching the good eye. So the good eye is patched, the weak eye is forced to work. And as a result, the brain gets an image from the weak eye and develops the ability to see out of that eye. Now, if that works, there may be good vision now in both eyes, or good potential vision in both eyes, but the focus is still very different between the two eyes. And so you still might be distance vision in one eye and very nearsighted in the other eye. So when that occurs, when there's a big difference between the two eyes, there are a couple of different things that can happen as far as the vision requirements and what we might do as far as glasses. The most common thing that I recommend is to just go ahead, if one eye is good without glasses and the other one needs a strong lens to see clearly, I say, well, don't bother with glasses, because you've, you know, for your whole 15 years of your life, you've been used to looking out of your good eye. And people who get used to it do quite well with the vision of one eye, and the other eye helps with the peripheral vision. And the depth perception may be a little bit off under some circumstances, but for the majority of things that you need to do, having one good, well-focused eye is just fine. Because if we try to focus both eyes, the difference in the lenses, the difference between the two glasses is so significant that you can't really easily get used to it, and the kid will never wear the glasses. So I say, well, they're not going to wear the glasses anyway. Just don't bother with the glasses and use the good eye as you've been doing for the past 14, 15 years. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. The second option is if you do want to try to use the vision in the weaker eye. Now, the thing that I also didn't mention is by the time you get to that age, the age of 15, it's too late to actually improve the vision in the weak eye if the vision is weaker in that eye. So if you put a lens in front of the weak eye and the vision is still not good, the vision is still poor even with a corrective lens, then we can't make that vision any better. But if the vision is very good with a corrective lens, the question is, don't you want to correct that eye so that you can use both eyes together? Well, this child has never used both eyes together because the two eyes are so different. So giving them good vision in both eyes does him very little good. He doesn't know how to use both eyes together. He hasn't developed that nerve pathway. And so the likelihood is that even if you give him good vision in both eyes, he's still going to primarily focus on the good eye. And the weak eye, even if it's better focused with glasses, is not going to contribute too much to his overall vision. So you're going to go ahead and have them wear glasses that don't make them any better. They're kids. They're not going to wear the glasses, right? So one option is not wearing the glasses. Second option is wear a contact lens in the eye that is weak. And the reason a contact lens works better than regular glasses is because the strength of the lens in regular glasses causes distortion of the vision. So you get not only a difference between the two eyes, but you also get a different size in the image between the two eyes because of the strength of the lens. And the brain has trouble dealing with that, and you get double vision. And again, they won't wear the glasses. So this particular child of the Chris, the caller, has been recommended to get several pairs of glasses, increasingly stronger in the weak eye. I never recommend that. I think that unless there is some evidence that they really want good vision out of that other eye, there's no reason to do that. You'd better off just, you know, no glasses or only partially correcting the bad eye. But wearing a contact lens could fully correct the bad eye. And if that seems to be helpful, if with both eyes working together, the child seems to be doing better than with just one eye, or seems to be happier, or seems to feel that their vision is better, then, you know, a contact lens is an option. And if a contact lens is helpful, if you put that contact lens on and it seems to be helpful, then a procedure like LASIK, laser vision correction, PRK, one of these vision correction procedures, may be a good way to proceed, because then you can give them the effect of the contact lens at the same time not having to actually wear a contact lens. So the LASIK or other procedures basically would simulate the effect of having a contact lens on the eye. Now, there are several issues about whether or not this eye could be treated with LASIK. It would need to be evaluated. Usually most surgeons would wait until he's at least 18 or 20 years old when the eye isn't changing anymore before correcting it with LASIK. But certainly that is an option if the vision out of that eye is going to give any improvement. But I want to know that first. So first step, figure out, does having good vision in the weak eye make a difference? And you can try that with a contact lens. You can do that through the contact lens. And if it doesn't, then go without glasses. If it does, then the possibility of correcting that vision permanently with one of the corrective laser surgeries or other type of eye surgery to correct the vision is certainly reasonable. Okay, so I hope that answers your question, Chris. And it's an interesting issue about amblyopia and poor vision. We're going to talk a little bit about foods that are good for your eyes as soon as we come back from a short break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Okay, welcome back. Here we are in the second segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show, and we do accept phone calls. We have open phone lines. 521-8383 is the way to reach us. I wanted to remind everyone out there and let people know who don't know that this is the weekend of the annual Greek Festival down at Ala Moana Beach Park at the McCoy Pavilion back behind the tennis courts. There's a whole little slice of Greece that goes on for 2 days every summer at the end of August, every summer on Saturday and Sunday from noon till 8 or 9 p.m. This Greek festival has Greek music and Greek dancing, Greek food, Greek wine, Greek beer, and Greek ouzo, which is a unique Greek liqueur, which is much appreciated by the Greeks. And so all kinds of good stuff there at the Greek festival, Greek items that you can buy, food items, and other things as well, pastries, food to eat there, food to take home and cook with, wonderful feta cheese and olives and other things. And the reason I mention this is because I usually spend each Saturday and Sunday at this time in August every year down at the Greek festival working. My wife is actively involved with the Greek Orthodox Cathedral of the Pacific, which is what sponsors the Greek festival. And so McCoy Pavilion, 12 noon till 8, 9 p.m. and sometimes the dancing even goes a little later on Saturday night than after 9 because everyone's having so much fun at the McCoy Pavilion. There's a $3 entrance fee at the door and then all kinds of food and beverages available, as well as Greek goods and services, Greek goods there. So that'll be fun. I'll be down there working and hopefully get a little bit of Greek dancing in, as well as all the other fun Greek food and stuff. All right, so I wanted to talking about food and different ethnic foods, Greek food among others. I wanted to talk a little bit about what kinds of foods are eye-healthy foods. I actually did a segment on the TV news last week, or this week, this past week on Monday, where we talked about foods that are eye-healthy. And so we talk about this periodically on the show, but since I was just looking up some different things and reading up about it, I thought that I'd mention a little bit about it here on the Hawaiian Eye Show this morning. We're talking about eyes, and so what about eye-healthy foods? What can you eat to keep your eyes healthy? So a lot of people, first thing I want to say is that a lot of people think that they can get health out of a bottle, and they go into the health food store, and they see all kinds of supplements sitting on the walls, and they have, this is good for this, and this is good for this, and this is good for your eyes, and this is good for your heart, and this is good for your liver, and that's all well and good, and some of the nutrients that are contained in those supplements probably are good for different parts of your body. Of course, there could be negative sides of taking some of these supplements as well. There are sometimes side effects that we aren't aware of, particularly with these supplements, because they don't go through the same rigorous approval process of the Food and Drug Administration that actual drugs do. So these are not drugs, these are just supplements. They're over the counter. They're not regulated the same way that prescription drugs are. So people say, well, is this vitamin? I see these vitamins that say eye vitamins, eye healthy vitamins. Are these good for my eyes? And the answer is that some of the things that are found in those vitamins may be good for the eyes. Some of them have been proven to have benefits in the eyes. Some of them have not, are just people's theories about what's good for the eyes. But the bottom line is getting that same nutrient or those same nutrients from your food is a far better way to get them than to get those nutrients through a pill, through a bottle. For one thing, we don't know how well our bodies actually absorb some of these nutrients. You know, I know people who have been told, oh, you have a low vitamin D, so take some vitamin D supplements. And they go ahead and take a vitamin D supplement, and then they go for a blood test again, and they say, oh, your vitamin D levels are still low. Let's give you a bigger supplement. And so clearly there are issues about how well some of these things are being absorbed into the body and that type of thing. So there's nothing to substitute for getting the appropriate nutrients in your diet. So what should we be eating? What types of things should we be looking for? Well, the particular nutrients that we're looking for are some of the antioxidant nutrients and the antioxidant vitamins. There's some evidence that lutein and zeaxanthin, which are strong antioxidants, seem to be found in high concentrations in the eye. So the assumption is that it's a good idea to get those in your diet so that they can replenish what's in the eye and your eye can stay as healthy as possible. And lutein is found particularly in many dark green leafy vegetables, for example, spinach, kale, mustard greens, collard greens. Many of these dark green leafy vegetables have significant amounts of lutein in them. They also have, many of them have zinc, and vitamin A, E, vitamin C, and more so in citrus fruits, but some of the dark green leafy vegetables have some vitamin C as well. And so all of these things seem to be associated with eye-healthy issues. Other things that seem to be healthy for the eye are the omega-3 fatty acids. It seems like the omega-3s are useful in maintaining a comfortable tear film. The moisture layer on the surface of the eye is often related to that, to the production of tears, and tear production or the consistency of the tear production is often enhanced by omega-3 fatty acids. That means that those nutrients, foods that contain those nutrients are probably better for your eyes. And what foods contain omega-3s? Well, fish. For example, salmon, oily fish like salmon and mackerel, commonly contain significant amounts of omega-3 fatty acids. Tuna does contain some as well. So if you eat fish a couple times a week, that's probably a good thing as far as the omega-3s. Other things are flax seeds, and people can take that in the form of flax seed oil or flax seeds that sometimes they buy in the health food store and sprinkle over their salad, flax seeds, and walnuts. Walnuts contain a lot of omega-3 fatty acids, so consider eating walnuts. I sprinkle walnuts over my breakfast cereal in the morning. Gives it a nice crunch, gives me a few extra omega-3s, so that's fun. And if you like walnuts, that's a good way to get them. And so those are some of the things to be aware of. Dark green leafy vegetables. Fresh fruits tend to be rich in things like vitamin C and vitamin A, some of them, and those nutrients are probably healthy for the eyes, have been shown to be beneficial in people who have early changes in their eyes associated with age-related macular degeneration. And also, I usually tell people eat fresh fruits, green leafy vegetables. Nuts are not a bad idea as well because they contain fiber and usually good fats. Olive oil seems to help the body enhance the body's ability to metabolize the healthy fats, the omega-3s, and neutralize some of the less healthy fats like the omega-6s and some of the other types of fats that we find in our diet. So olive oil seems to be helpful as well. Although it doesn't contain a lot of omega-3 fatty acids, it seems to help our body's ability to use omega-3 fatty acids. So all of these things that we consider healthy are probably good for your eyes as well. Beans, carrots. I get a lot of questions about carrots. Are carrots good for your eyes? You know how they always used to say, eat carrots and you'll be able to see in the dark or your eyes will be better. It turns out that carrots don't have a whole lot of nutrients that have been shown to be eye healthy, but they do contain beta carotene, which is vitamin A. And vitamin A definitely is necessary for proper function of the eyes. And so if we had a lack of vitamin A in other things that we ate, then carrots certainly would be helpful in providing vitamin A to our systems. Fortunately, in America, vitamin A is fairly common in our diet, so you don't really need to worry about eating vitamin A because of the fact that it's commonplace in our diets. So vitamin A deficiencies can cause very severe eye problems, and there are many parts of the world in which vitamin A deficiencies have caused serious issues, blindness and so forth, because people don't get vitamin A in their diet. So I think that's where this idea that carrots are good for your eyes came from, is that we know that vitamin A is necessary to maintain good ocular health, and carrots do contain vitamin A or beta carotene, as do squash, some yellow squash. That yellow color often comes from the beta carotene. And the spinach and broccoli and kale and some of those other dark leafy green vegetables that we were talking about before. Eat fresh fruits, green leafy vegetables. That seems to be the eye healthy advice. Some fish, some nuts, walnuts, flax seed are good for the omega-3 fatty acids. And we have actually found that the omega-3s, the omega-3 fatty acids, which are an essential fatty acid, meaning our body requires them for building blocks, and they're not that common in our diets. There's not that many foods that we eat that contain the omega-3 fatty acids. So the likelihood is that if we don't get enough of that, then it could affect some of the things related to the eyes. In particular, the omega-3s seem to be helpful in promoting a good, healthy tear film. The tear film is the moisture layer that covers the surface of the eye, or that coats the surface of the eye. And because that tear film can be, it can be irregular, can be inconsistent, and that can result in symptoms, blurry vision, dry eye sensations, irritation, scratchiness, dry feeling in the eyes, tearing of the eyes from dryness, then if we don't get enough omega-3s, that can certainly affect the eyes and the dryness of the eyes. In fact, for people who have dry eyes, in many cases, we are recommending supplements with omega-3 fatty acids. We're saying go ahead and take those omega-3 fatty acid supplements, fish oil or flaxseed oil, that you can get in the drugstore. Take a couple of those a day in order to replenish your stores of omega-3 fatty acids in order to keep the surface of the eye a little bit more healthy and reduce the chance that the dryness of the surface of the eye is going to be a significant issue for you. Because certainly dry eyes are a leading cause of irritation and discomfort and blurring, often on intermittent blurring as we get older, can be caused by dry eyes. But we also see it as a leading cause of contact lens intolerance. People who have worn contact lenses for a while and start to become less able to wear contact lenses, they become less comfortable for them. This is often because the surface of the eye gets a little more dry. The lens can't float smoothly and evenly on the tear film, and so it ends up being uncomfortable. So the contact lens becomes more difficult to wear if the surface of the eye is dry. All right, we're going to take a short break from the news. When we get back, we're going to talk about some eye news.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio 830 KHVH.
It's 80 degrees, partly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton Dennis. Here's what's happening. Tropical storm Isaac has pushed into Cuba after causing flooding in Haiti, where it's blamed for at least three deaths. Forecasters say the storm could threaten Florida Monday and Tuesday, just as the Republican Party starts its national convention in Tampa. It could eventually hit the Florida Panhandle as a Category 2 hurricane. Officials are organizing shelters and urging vacationers to leave the Florida Keys as Tropical Storm Isaac approaches. Governor Rick Scott has declared a state of emergency to make sure local and state agencies are ready for the storm, which could grow into a hurricane as it moves northwest off Florida's Gulf Coast. Big Island residents were shaken awake just before 2:30 a.m. by a 3.9 magnitude earthquake centered off the coast of Kau. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center said the earthquake did not generate a tsunami. It was felt as far north as Lapahoehoe and Honoka'a and west in Captain Cook. 2 minutes later, another 2.0 magnitude earthquake struck in the same area. In an unusual move, former state lawmaker and Honolulu attorney John Carroll, a Republican, announced yesterday he was endorsing Democrat Mazie Hirono in the U.S. Senate race. Carroll lost to former Governor Linda Lingle in the Republican primary earlier this month. Police have made no arrest in a first-degree arson case after fire heavily damaged a single-story home in Kaimuki early yesterday. It was reported at 6:08 a.m. at 1439 Center Street. All three occupants got out of the home safely. An investigator says the fire was deliberately set. Island weather today, mostly sunny and breezy with a high in the upper 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 76. Tomorrow, sunny. Currently in Honolulu, 80 degrees. I'm Julia Norton Dennis.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Can you see me now? Hawaiian eyes, can you see me lost? From paradise, and there was so many ways to go.
Ah, yes, Hawaiian eyes. And you're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. This is Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking about eyes. If you have a question about eyes, you'd like to ask us or you'd like to give us a call, phone number here is 521-8383. If you're listening Saturday morning, we're here live, and we're talking about all kinds of things related to eyes, about diets related to eyes, about weak eyes, amblyopia eyes, children who have a difference in focus between the two eyes. So we've been talking about all kinds of interesting things. If you'd like to have something, have us talk about something that particularly interests you, give us a call, 521-8383. And if you're calling from the neighbor islands, there is a toll-free number, so grab a pencil, write that down. It's 1-888-565-8383. I have a couple of news stories here. This is an interesting one about a contact lens sensor, which is may revolutionize the treatment of glaucoma. It says here, a study testing the safety and tolerability of a contact lens sensor designed to assist in the diagnosis and management of glaucoma suggests that the device is safe and relatively well tolerated. The sensor, which is discussed in a study in the Archives of Ophthalmology, was designed to measure intraocular pressure during a 24-hour period. The results are of importance since the availability of a practical device for ambulatory monitoring of 24-hour intraocular pressure is an unmet need in glaucoma, according to the study's lead author, Kewa Mansouri, from the Hamilton Glaucoma Center and Shiley Eye Center, Department of Ophthalmology, University of California, San Diego, and La Jolla. The trial was conducted in hopes that the Food and Drug Administration will ultimately approve the contact lens sensor. The aim of the study was to test the safety, reproducibility, and tolerability of day-long monitoring with the contact lens sensor. 40 people who either had glaucoma or were suspected of having glaucoma made up the subject pool. The patients took part in two 24-hour intraocular monitoring sessions, 1 week apart. The researchers monitored for adverse events, assessed the tolerability of the contact lens via visual analog scales, meaning questionnaires basically, and determined the reproducibility of the signal patterns between the intraocular monitoring sessions using Pearson correlations, whatever that is. The mean age of the participants was 55 years, and 60% of them were men. They actually talk about a number of the other numbers here. It actually turns out that the most prominent adverse effects were blurred vision. 82% of them saw blurred vision, which I guess you'd expect if you had a contact lens with a microchip in it, in your eye. Conjunctival redness, so redness of the eye, and superficial keratitis, meaning irritation of the surface of the eye, which was not as common. About 15% of those people developed a surface irritation. So to study the change in signal of the contact lens sensor from the wake up and sitting to the sleep and lying down state, linear regressions were fitted to the transition from the waking to the sleep period, according to the authors. From waking to 2 hours into sleep, they looked at the things. This is too much detail, so we won't go into all that detail. But anyway, it says that they felt that these sensors were helpful and actually gave them some useful information. But they said limitations include that the current technology doesn't display the signals in a way that is easily readable and correlate, that can be correlated with other things. So the reason this is important, and the doctors here say it's the first step toward what this particular doctor would describe as the holy grail of being able to measure pressure more or less continually in a tolerable way. So it's important to be able to measure this pressure for a few hours or a few days or ideally weeks at a time to get a better understanding of how the patient's pressure is doing. So in glaucoma, we ask people to lower their pressure. We treat them by lowering their pressure. We ask them to do this by using eye drops on a regular basis. Now, some people may be using those drops really consistently, and some people may be forgetting a bunch of times using their drops. And so in order to monitor how they're doing in a particular person's eye, having a way of assessing or measuring the pressure over an extended period of time would be really helpful. And that's why this study is so important. It says Let's see. He points out an analogy using diabetes management. No one would manage diabetes based on a single blood sugar reading taken randomly once in a while with no thought of the underlying physiology. But that's what we're doing for glaucoma. We're measuring the pressure just once in a while and then trying to figure out whether it's controlled or not. Okay, so for the message coming out of this center is stay tuned. The technology will probably come to a practical level in the next 5 to 10 years. But he says it remains to be seen whether or not it'll be useful for all types of patients. And people who have never worn contact lenses or older patients may not tolerate the contact lens as well. So let's see, it'll help ophthalmologists assess changes in pressure during a 24-hour period or longer. The availability of this technology is a milestone in milestone in glaucoma, according to Dr. Mansouri, one of the researchers, and has the potential to significantly improve the management of glaucoma by providing better ways to assess treatment efficacy and possibly risk assessment for progression. So basically, when we treat glaucoma, we tell people, here, we need to get your pressure a little bit lower. And we measure their pressure today, and then we say, come back in a couple of weeks after you've been doing this treatment, whether that treatment is laser, painless laser treatment sometimes used to treat glaucoma, or whether that treatment is using eye drops. And then we say, come back in a couple of weeks, we'll measure your pressure again. And we measure the pressure, and the pressure is lower, and we say, okay, great, your pressure is lower, you're doing better, that's fine, keep using the medicine, or laser treatment helped. So that's all well and good, but the problem is that we've learned increasingly over time that in people who have glaucoma, as well as in normal people, the pressure tends to fluctuate during the course of the day. You might measure someone's pressure today, and it would be one number, and then later in the day it might be a different number, and then tomorrow morning might be a different number. And not everyone is the same in terms of how the pressure fluctuates. So, and not every day is the same. So you can't say, well, we'll measure the pressure at 10 o'clock in the morning every time, and then we'll be catching it at the same point on the oscillation or the up and down pressure changes. But the problem is that it doesn't actually work that way. You can't say at 10 o'clock in the morning the pressure is going to be at the same point in the cycle every day, because that cycle changes from day to day. So that's the difficult thing about monitoring pressure that we're learning as we get better insights through technology like this, like the special contact lens that senses the pressure on a longer-term basis, that we realize that there are significant fluctuations in day-to-day measurements of pressure. So for us to be able to determine whether treatment modalities are working effectively or not is difficult. So when people come in my office and they have a little high pressure reading, and they have glaucoma, they get all bent out of shape. They say, oh my gosh, my pressure is high today. And I said, well, you know, we're probably catching it on a higher end of a cycle. So last time it was much lower, they say, and today it's higher. They're worried. And yes, you know, that is a little bit of a cause for concern. Is the general trend of the pressure going upward, or is it just that we're catching a peak in the pressure up and down a fluctuation? So this peaks and troughs in the pressure. The pressure is high certain times of the day, low other times of the day. This is actually an important principle increasingly in the treatment of glaucoma, because it actually turns out that high pressure fluctuations are also associated with damage to the vision related to glaucoma. And so pressure fluctuations are something that occur over a period of time that can create an issue with the glaucoma progressing or getting worse, affecting the eye more over time. If the pressure is going up and down, the high points may be causing further damage to the vision, further damage related to the glaucoma, and the low points may be when they're coming in the office and being measured, and we say, good, your pressure is nice and low, but we don't realize that some other time of the day that pressure is going high and affecting the vision over time. So there are a number of ways that we need to monitor glaucoma, including looking at the optic nerve and measuring the pressure and testing the peripheral vision or the visual field that helps us determine if the vision is changing related to glaucoma. So there's no such thing as a single reading or measurement or test that will tell you yes or no you have glaucoma, yes or no your glaucoma is properly, adequately treated. So it needs to be monitored on an ongoing basis. So this is a useful technology, a contact lens that can be placed in the eye and monitor the pressure over time. It's still in a trial form, so it has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration yet. It's still in a relatively primitive form that still causes some irritation to the eye and some other issues, and so those are being worked out, but it is a step in the right direction. So that's a great and very interesting news story there about a contact lens that can monitor glaucoma over a period of time, or pressure in the eye over a period of time. Let's see, we have, talking about contact lenses, we have an article here about contact lenses and risk factors for contact lens-related infections. It says this prospective case control study involved 90 daily contact lens wearers with moderate and severe keratitis. These are people who had infections due to the contact lenses, most likely, and about 1,000 controls. So 90 contact lens wearers, about 1,000 controls. Both poor contact lens storage case hygiene and infrequent replacement of contact lens cases were independently associated with a higher risk of moderate and severe microbial keratitis, or serious infections related to the contact lens. They note that attention to both factors together would remove 62% of the disease load. Other risk factors included occasional overnight contact lens use, smoking, and higher socioeconomic class. It's interesting. People who have more money are more likely to get contact lens-related infections. I wonder why that is. Anyway, the contact lens case, so contact lens storage case hygiene, not cleaning the case regularly and not replacing the case, seem to be associated with more infections on the surface of the eye related to the contact lens. So that's something to keep in mind. Be careful with the storage of your contact lens case. Clean it regularly and replace it periodically. Good advice. Okay, we're going to be right back after this short break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Oh, a heart that found better than you. A brown-eyed girl.
All right, welcome back. Here we are in the last segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. If you have a question for us, now's the time to call because we do have open phone lines. 521-8383 is the number to call. We're happy to try to answer your questions here on this beautiful Saturday morning. Looks like it's going to be a nice warm day today for the Greek festival out there. So those of you who want to see me, look for me in the pastry booth at the Greek Festival down at McCoy Pavilion between noon and 9 p.m. tonight, Saturday, and tomorrow, Sunday, between noon to 8 p.m. And you can also pick up all kinds of interesting Greek goodies. Let's see, what do we have news stories here? A couple more news stories here. It says, cataract surgery may reduce the hip fracture rate. There's an interesting story. It says this large retrospective review evaluated the incidence of hip fractures within a year of cataract surgery in a random sample of Medicare beneficiaries age 65 and older diagnosed with a cataract between 2002 and 2009. Overall, those who had cataracts removed had a 16% fewer hip fractures than those who declined surgery. older patients aged 80 to 84 and those with significant comorbidities, meaning had other problems, experienced the most significant benefits, with 28% fewer hip fractures compared with equally sick patients who did not have surgery, and those who had severe cataracts removed had 23% fewer hip fractures than those with severe cataracts who declined surgical treatment. So what does that tell me? Well, hip fractures went down when cataract surgery went up. So that tells me that having your cataract fixed makes it less likely to have a hip fracture. Why is that? I mean, your hip is down there, your eye is up here. I mean, why would eyes and hips be connected? Well, it actually is a connection that we've known about for a long time. And that is that if your vision is no good, then you're much more likely to trip and fall. You know, people rely on their vision for balance. People rely on their vision to see how even or uneven the pavement is when they're walking down the street. And it's very easy, particularly as you get older and your balance may not be quite as good, or your legs may not be quite as steady, or your muscle is not as strong, to go over an uneven part of the pavement and or step off a step is too high or higher or lower than you think it is, and you lose your footing because you have misjudged your step, and as a result you fall. And the most common cause of hip fractures in elderly patients is falling. So don't see well, trip and fall, break your hip. There you go, a link between eyes and hip fractures. And in fact, this was proved out in this particular study that we just read about. And that suggests that there is a very real correlation. And that means that you need to be aware that vision is an important factor in an aging person's ability to walk easily and get around easily without falling. So if the vision is poor and the ground is uneven and you trip and fall, then the likelihood of fracturing your hip, especially if you have some osteoporosis, an older woman in particular, but older men as well, the possibility or the likelihood of fracturing the hip becomes much greater. Kind of interesting how this is an endemic problem. This hip fracture problem is an endemic problem in our society, among the aging population. You know, you hear all the time, "Oh, so and so fell and they broke their hip." You know, when you're young, you fall down all the time, right? I mean, your children, when they're learning to play, they're learning to walk on 2 feet. They fall, they trip. So we as human beings are actually kind of unique in the animal kingdom in terms of sort of balancing on 2 feet. I guess birds do it. But many other animals use 2 or more, I suppose, feet to balance themselves. And insects use more than 2 feet, right? Multiple legs. But the idea that human beings balance on 2 legs and then have an upright posture, which is a relatively poor balance. I mean, it's kind of, you know, you think about something as tall as a normal human being standing on something as small as feet. And it's kind of a recipe for disaster if your muscle tone and balance aren't properly balanced. And so as you get older and you lose the ability to balance as well, and you lose some of the muscle tone, the risk of falling is greater. And so anything that throws off your balance or your ability to deal well with in uneven areas on the surface of the street or the road or the path that you're walking on could very well throw you into a situation where you fall. And if you fall forcibly enough or you have some osteoporosis, a broken hip could be the result. So cataract surgery reduces the risk of hip fractures. And I bet if you did the study, we'd actually also find that having a second eye done once a first eye was treated for cataract, having the second cataract removed would actually help improve or lower the rate of hip fractures or other fall injuries as well. And the reason is because after people have one cataract removed, they have cataract surgery, they go, "Oh my gosh, the vision's so much better." They say, "Well, I want to stop here. I don't want to go through the procedure in the second eye." Even though the procedure is easy and quick and painless and fast recovery, they go, "Oh yeah, I just don't want to use the drops, or I don't want to be bothered going through the procedure again. So I see well now." But the problem is that the other eye is slowly getting weaker because there's still a cataract in the eye that hasn't been treated. One cataract's been treated, the other one hasn't. And so there's a little unbalanced situation where one eye is clear, one eye is good, the other eye is not as good, not as clear, and that leads to being off balance. And so if you're off balance, that leads to more falls, or the higher likelihood of a fall, and a fall, of course, a higher likelihood of a hip fracture or other types of injuries that could be serious or even life-threatening in some situations. And so having both eyes corrected for cataract surgery is definitely something that I recommend if there is any deficit or difficulty with the eye that hasn't been treated. Bringing it into good focus and have the both eyes focused together seems to be real helpful in giving people overall depth perception and ability to navigate well by themselves. Okay, so we have another news article here about river blindness. It says river blindness research looks at how a parasite thrives. So river blindness is a common cause of blindness outside of the United States, particularly in third world countries. Many places in Africa, river blindness is endemic. It's caused by a little worm that gets into the structures associated with the eye and causes scarring and damage that leads to loss of vision and damage to the vision. So it says here, scientists at the University of Liverpool have found that the worm which causes river blindness survives by using a bacterium to provide energy as well as to help trick the body's immune system into thinking it's fighting a different type of infection. River blindness affects 37 million people, mainly in sub-Saharan Africa, causing intense itching of the skin, visual impairment, and in severe cases, irreversible blindness. It is caused by a parasitic worm that is transmitted by blood-feeding black flies, which breed in fast-flowing rivers. That's why they call it river blindness. The team at Liverpool investigated a bacteria carried by the worm called Wolbachia, which, if removed by antibiotics, kills the adult worm and cures river blindness. Okay, so you actually cure river blindness by treating with antibiotics, not because that kills the worm, but because it kills the bacteria that the worm needs to survive. To understand why the worms need these bacteria to survive, scientists sequenced the genome of Wolbachia from a closely related parasite in cattle. They found that the bacteria could provide the worm with energy through a process that needs iron and oxygen, similar to cell energy processes in the human body. The bacteria can also trick the body's immune response into believing it's dealing with the bacteria rather than a worm infection, making it difficult for the body to fight the disease. Research findings could help target drugs at disabling the bacteria's energy-giving properties, which may provide shorter treatment regimes for river blindness. Understanding the bacteria's ability to misdirect the human immune system response could also contribute to work in vaccine development. So one of the doctors in the study, it says Dr. Ben Makepeace from the University of Liverpool's Institute of Infection and Global Health, said river blindness is a major problem in tropical regions of Africa where a similar parasite can also be found in cattle. Antibiotics have shown promise in clinical trials, but treatment can be a long process for a patient, so it's important to find new ways of combating the disease and improving patient welfare. There you go, a little bit about river blindness, something that affects a lot of people in sub-Saharan Africa, not very many people in the U.S. unless they travel regularly to Africa, but something that, of course, is interesting on a global health scale. Okay, we've been here now for an hour talking about eyes and eye care. I certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank Stephen for helping out here in the studio, and say thanks to all you listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your letters. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us, and if you learned something new, you can always listen again next week. If you have a question, you can email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. And we can answer those questions over the air in future weeks. Don't forget to check out our website at www.hawaiianeye.com. All kinds of interesting information there. Follow me on Twitter. Go to twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A. And that will get you to our Twitter page. It's sure been a pleasure talking with you. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with offices in central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Thanks so much for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
America's Anchorman, Rush Limbaugh.
It's the most gutless choice one can make. Be a liberal.
Every weekday morning at 10, KHVH Honolulu.
Hawaii's home for Fox News.